This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. We are nearing the end of the year. That means time for a new calendar, and perhaps the best kind of calendar to have is one that shows the Ozarks you may know, and some Ozarks that you may not have seen before. Tim Ernst's new Arkansas 2012 calendar is out, and he's with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Welcome back.
Great to be here again, as always.
I often wonder when you know the pictures, the 12 pictures you're going to have for the calendar. I mean, you have to go to press before the end of the year.
Right. Yeah, we usually go to press in May or early June, and sometimes when I'm out taking a picture, I know immediately when I press the shutter, this is going to be a calendar shot. A lot of others, I just, in early May, I sit down and literally go through hundreds of thousands of images, some of them most recent, some of them, you know, years ago that I've never used for anything, and I just all of a sudden one pops and say, oh, yeah, I've got to use that somewhere. And sometimes I literally in my mind will say, you know, I can sense or visualize a scene, and then I go out and find it, and I'm with the thought of it's going to be in the calendar. But then there are also some that literally if I'm coming to town with the materials to send off to the printer, I pick it the night before at 11 o'clock. Mm. So it's a mix of things. But it's always a lot of fun. I always try to pick some that have never been used in a calendar before and some classic images that have never been used, but also some that nobody's ever seen before.
I imagine one of those that when you hit the shutter you knew was going to be in here was the glory hole.
Oh, yeah, the glory hole in the ice. Yeah, it was one of those where standing there seeing that column of ice, and it is so tall as an ice sculpture, and there's so much color in it that, I mean, I was just totally awestruck by being there. And, of course, what's pictured in the photograph is the actual tube of ice or column of ice coming down. But what's not pictured is behind me, 180 degrees, the opening of the glory hole overhang was also with curtains and sheets of ice. It was just spectacular, and none of that's pictured. So when I was there, you know, I didn't press a button and say, this is the one. I took probably 60 or 70 different pictures from different angles, and later on, that one kind of jumped out as the one I should use.
Glory hole is one of those iconic images that a lot of us have seen either in person or on photograph, but I've never seen this sort of ice encapsulated vision.
Glory hole is one of the most unusual waterfalls in this part of the United States, and because the water's drilled a hole through the roof of this wide overhang, and it pours down through it. And the timed exposures of it that I usually shoot with the water flowing, it looks like light beams coming down through it. Some people think that's what it is, but I've never seen it completely frozen. And contrary to what most people think, it doesn't take a lot of water in cold weather. If it's high water, it won't freeze. It needs to be seeping water, very low water conditions, and like a buildup of a week of very, very cold weather before the column will happen. And if you look closely at this picture at the top of it, there's actually light that is illuminating the top of the ice, and it gives it a kind of a blue glow, which doesn't reach all the way down to the bottom of the column. But when I walked over and tapped on the column, it was kind of hollow in some places. Mm. So some of that light beam was reaching down in there, which was kind of neat.
We had such an extreme weather year this mm-hmm. past year. The coldest temperatures ever recorded in much of northwest Arkansas, equal to the hottest, that very wet spring with flash flooding. Does that make for unusual pictures or?
It makes for wonderful pictures. And, you know, especially the fall we've had, I think, is one of the most spectacular fall color seasons we've had here. And as early as July, people were saying, we're not going to have any color at all this year. And I just smile because usually, in my experience of the last 30 some odd years photographing falls in the Ozarks, the driest years produce the most vivid colors. Mm. They don't last as long sometimes. Very wet falls will produce more muted colors, but it sticks around longer. But I think this year turned out just wonderful.
It seemed around Fayetteville, around Washington, Benton County, it almost happened overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that the way it was?
Yes, that's what happens. It's more of a snap than a gradual coloring. But one thing that's happened this year is I still see underbrush right now, sumac and sassafras and stuff that usually turns in late August and September that's just now peaking. And you know, you couple that with the maples and the oaks and hickories this year were just really incredible. So, yeah, all that is kind of the perfect storm of fall color, with the exception of high water, because everything was so dry. You know, a couple of years ago, we had great color and high water at the same time, and we don't have the water this year, but we've got, I think, more a mix of vibrant colors than we've had in a long time.
I agree with you. It's been very spectacular. When you look at May, you have a yellow lady slipper orchid, and it's beautifully shot with a black background. Was this shot at night?
No, we shot it right in the middle of the day. It's a technique that I've used for a long time of trying, with particularly wildflowers, trying to isolate the subject from the background by getting the subject brighter, the flower lit brighter, and then the background very, very dark, or in this case, it's actually completely black. And when you do that with something like a wildflower, especially, all the detail in the flower and the petals and the leaves and everything, all that beautiful radiant color just comes jumping out at you. I photograph wildflowers these days frequently using a light tint, which is a kind of an inverted laundry basket that, you know, twist and fold up, that I can put over the top of a flower that's completely covered with white linen. And so even in the bright sunshine in the middle of the day, which is normally not very flattering for wildflowers, it just bathes the flower this beautiful, glowing, soft light. And then I put either a very heavy shadow on the background of it, or even sometimes a piece of black felt, and then I bounce a little bit of soft light up into the face of the flower, and that's how that particular one was taken.
And you went hunting for that flower.
Yeah, well, lady slippers in Arkansas, they're all pretty rare, and I didn't realize till recently there are four different species of lady slippers in Arkansas. There are three different yellow ones, and this one is actually the most common, which is just the large yellow lady slipper orchid. And then there's a small yellow lady slipper orchid, which I'd never seen before. There's a picture of that in my new picture book. And then there's a Kentucky lady slipper orchid, which is the largest one, but it's down in the Washitas. And then there's one that's the queen of the lady slippers, which is actually a showy or pink lady slipper. Hmm. And it's extremely rare in Arkansas, and I'd never seen one before this past spring. And I was able to locate one little group of them and take pictures. But I wanted to include all four species in my new picture book, and so that's why the reason I took the one of the pair of the yellow lady slippers that's in the calendar.
That picture book is the Portfolio 3?
Arkansas Portfolio 3, that's right. That just came out a couple weeks ago.
With a calendar, you're looking for 12 spectacular images. When you're putting together a book, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for 120 spectacular images, and certainly a book is much more difficult to do in some ways. In other ways, it's easier to do because you don't have to have, you know, just one picture a month. You know, you can put a lot of different things in there. And usually I used to do one picture book every 2 or 3 years, but now everybody wants new stuff every year. So the last several I've been shooting enough that I feel like I've got enough good material to do an entire book each year. And Arkansas Portfolio 3 is the third in that portfolio series. I've done 12 or 13 Arkansas picture books now. My very first one was Arkansas Portfolio. And the title really is an easy one for me because it gives me free rein to go anywhere in the state and shoot anything I want to. You know, there is no – it's not Buffalo River this, mm-hmm. or Arkansas Autumn like last year's was, or Arkansas Wildlife the year before. So I can do anything I want. So it's kind of fun as a photographer – to where there's, you know, I walk out the door every day with a clean slate and I can go shoot anything I want to, and it's a lot of fun.
There's part of me that would think, after all the pictures you've taken, after all the hikes you've taken, that you would have seen it all, but I guess not.
Oh, no. People say, gosh, you know everything about Arkansas, and I've probably only seen 1 or 2% of Arkansas, and I've been doing this since I was 7 years old. I've been tromping around in the backwoods, and that's 49 years now. And as a photographer, 36 years of doing it, and no, I still find new things every time I walk out the door.
Well, you have a new, an updated Arkansas Waterfalls book, and there are what you term as new waterfalls. How can that? I would have thought that every inch would have been discovered by now.
Well, yeah, new is relative in the modern times. When I did the first edition of this guidebook, everybody knew about the famous waterfalls, the Lost Valley, Eden Falls, and Cedar Creek at Pettigene, stuff like that. But there weren't a whole lot of people that knew that we had more than a dozen or two waterfalls in the state. And growing up in the backcountry, I knew that there were waterfalls everywhere. And we have thousands and thousands of really neat waterfalls in Arkansas. There was like 130 or 140 that I documented and mapped and photographed for the first edition of that book, that guidebook. And the new second edition that also just came out has over 200 in it. including 74 specific new waterfalls that have not really been any kind of guidebook before. And most people have never visited them in modern times, nor know about them yet. They will now. And some of them, I would go and find one nice waterfall, or somebody would say, hey, you need to go into this hollow, and there's a great waterfall there. And I'd get there, and there'd be four or five or six or eight or ten of them. And in fact, there were so many like that, what I call nests of waterfalls that are in one small area. I wanted to come up with a name for it, you know, a gaggle of geese and all that stuff. So I
a collective noun?
That's right. So I had just come back from Iceland at the time, and all of the waterfall – or the waterfall in Iceland, the word is foss, F-O-S-S. And I wanted so that had to be in the name, and I came up with the word polyfoss. And poly means multiple. Mm-hmm. Foss is Icelandic for waterfall. So in the guidebook, there are many places marked saying this is a polyfoss, and what that means is you'll see a lot more than just one waterfall. In fact, there's one guy who lives near Ozark that actually has discovered 63 waterfalls within several miles of his house just in this last year. And I named an area after him. His name's Brian. I called it Brian's Polyfoss. And there's like – he sent me in there to look at one or two waterfalls, and I found seven or eight just in the one immediate area. He has since found another couple of dozen in that same drainage. And there's still places in Arkansas where you can go and discover things like that. It's really amazing.
You know, we get in this idea that since Northwest Arkansas has become so much more urban over the last 20 years or so, that there is no more discovery. I mean, perhaps personal discovery, but no more discovery of things that had been forgotten or not seen for a while. But
most people stick to trails.
Wisely.
Which is a good thing. Yes. That's right. No problem with that. But we still have a lot of national forest areas that are not used for much as far as recreation, and that's great because simply going out into areas where, you know, maybe a hunter has been or someone has been, you know, walked a few times in the last 10 or 20 years but not really been utilized by hikers and campers and folks like that in modern times. And it is great that we can still go. And as a photographer, I still find places. Just last spring, I found entire drainage about 20 miles from where I live in one of the drainages of the Buffalo River that had been in private hands until just recently. And the private property owner didn't do anything with it. It just was not part of the national forest, so it wasn't logged or anything. And now it's part of the national forest, and there's a waterfall in this guide, the new waterfall guidebook from there. And it's just a spectacular area that is virtually brand new to nature photographers in Arkansas.
When you're going onto land like that you know had been in private hands for a while and you've never been on, and now you have, do you get goosebumps?
Sometimes, yes, because of course, I'm like that anyway. Even when I go to some place like Hawksbill Craig as an example, you know, people say, why do you want to go back there? You've taken so many pictures of it. I haven't taken the best one yet. I've still got more to do. And every time I go there, it's just, wow. And, you know, there's an unlimited number of those places left in Arkansas, I think, still.
Hawksbill Craig will always be there. There was an image, I think, in two calendars ago under a beautiful full moon. It was a barn that was listing.
Uh-huh.
And I remember you telling me at the time when I talked to you about that calendar that, well, you didn't know how long that barn would go.
Right.
How long would it last?
It went.
It went.
Yeah. It fell in this last year. In fact, in my slide program, I'm doing a series of slide programs about Arkansas Portfolio 3, the new picture book. And one of the pictures in there is of that listing barn that I shot a series of pictures 8 hours long overnight and pieced them all together. It's a star trail to where,
right,
you know, where all the stars are moving. And literally within 2 weeks after those pictures were taken, that barn began to fall, and it was completely flat within a week after that. And it has now been – it's actually – that barn was recently given or deeded to the National Forest, of all things. It's kind of weird having a barn and a pasture in National Forest ownership, but – they have gone in and completely cleaned the site up, and there's nothing left but the old foundation of it.
When someone sees an image of yours, would you rather hear the comment, wow, that looks just like I remember it, or, wow, that's a completely new way for me to see it?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. I want to see people's eyes light up no matter what they, you know, what their memory of it is. And for some people, it is a memory of, oh, man, that is exactly like XYZ. Mm-hmm. I made a canvas print just this morning of a picture that's in the new picture book of white dogwoods and pink dogwoods together. It's a scene you don't see very often, but I want, it's not the greatest, you know, spectacular fine art image, but I wanted to, a lot of people have pink dogwoods and white dogwoods, or maybe they have, you know, a grandmother's place that used to have both of them. And so I hope that would trigger a memory, maybe not of they saw that same scene, but just something else that was pleasing to them. That's what, you know, ultimately there's two things I want to do with my pictures. One is help people gain appreciation for the great natural beauty that we have, but two, be entertaining and give them a pleasant thought about something, whether it's that exact scene or whether it, you know, triggers some very pleasant memory.
Tim, thank you so much for your time.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be back again, and especially in your new digs here, which first time I've been here is great.
Well, we like them. Thanks.
I'll bet.